Good evening, Tenderman Timmy. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well. Do you want to shoot the ICI account a co-host invite, actually? I have this one on my old shitty phone. It may disconnect at any point.
All right. Yeah, I just sent it over. I see Shroot. I see Fox. I see Metadow. Got some people in here. I like doing these impromptu spaces sometimes.
Would you look at that? Looks like my main new phone is being weird.
Right. Yeah, I think that one's getting rubbed. In the beginning, I was getting rubbed too.
Yeah, like I hear a bunch of static from your mic, but I don't know if it's my shitty phone.
No, I think I have my air conditioner on too high. Hey, Mayor, good evening. I think we've got this pretty much set up now the way we want. Netadow, good evening to you.
Yeah, looking good. I think there is something going on with your mic, though, Joe. You got a bunch of static on it.
How about right now?
Sounds like you're talking to me from an airplane.
How about this?
That sounds better, I think.
Damn it. That's my, I had to turn my air conditioner off. That's okay.
It's like noise cancellation fighting against it.
It's all right. Yeah, no, I'm using my phone, so I don't have like the nice, the emulator gives me trouble. So for this one, I'll use my phone. It's usually reliable.
Let me guess. Do you have a new phone without an aux port? So you can't just plug in your headset or the USB headset.
I have an old phone. I have a, it's an old LG phone that I bought last year.
No way. Well, what is it?
Didn't we have this talk about LG phones that I'm like, loyal to all Korean products?
We must have, because my last four phones have been LG. What exactly are you using?
The V60.
That is what I am talking to you on right now, my friend. That's crazy.
Was that the last one they made before they discontinued phones?
Their last, like, flagship nice one. I got this for, like, $300, though, and it was one of those phones that was, you know, $900 at launch, on par with the Galaxy S whatever.
Yeah, I had the V30 for about 5 years, and then I finally had to give it up because it just wasn't, you know, the battery just wasn't holding up. And I bought this one off eBay for, like, $180.
Was the V30 the one with like two screens technically, where the header notification bar was another screen?
Yeah, you could set it up into multiple screens. I never did, but it
had a lot of cool features. We're spirit animals. I owned that phone too, and I don't know a single other person that's owned either of these phones ever. That's great.
I don't like the Galaxies. I think they're overpriced, and the iPhones, I just can't commit to Apple products, but yeah, this is LG for everyone in the audience. If you want to buy a good cheap phone,
wow,
go on eBay, find a refurbished LG V60, and it'll cost you like probably less than $200. I think mine was $180.
Yeah, they're just they're gonna be out of date soon, like security updates and that kind of thing, just because they stopped making them.
I think they're doing updates through this year.
Cool. Yeah. Well, all right. Man, that always blows my mind. We have talked about this before, but that always sidetracks me because I don't know anyone else that uses LG. But thanks for indulging me in a moment there. What's going on, Tank? Kit? Got some of the classics here.
We've got some heavy hitters in the space right now. I love it.
I've been loving Kit's timeline recently. Just in general, you've been posting a mix of stuff, but it's all been on point. All right, so should we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's let's say you had one tweet to describe what you were working on. How would you distill it down to one tweet for people that maybe I think the people in here will know kind of what you're building, but how would they explain it to somebody else, let's say in another space? One tweet, if you could.
I'll give you two sentences. They'd probably both fit in one tweet, but two ways.
Perfect. Perfect.
One is what a wallet should be and what many of us expected a wallet to be when coming into crypto. And then two being kind of, defining that, bringing the interchain experience all under one roof, one unified UI and UX.
And by experience, you mean apps, websites, information, all that.
Yeah, that's sort of like what I think our unique point is over really anyone else I've seen in definitely Cosmos, let alone in Web3. Is that some people might do, like there's a like wiki portion of their site or a little eco page or whatever. But we're not really focused on building any main core apps ourselves. We're focused on bringing awareness, information, and usage to existing apps, both on chain and off. So off chain things could be like, Hubble tools, like that technically you don't need to connect with a wallet. It just gives you Stargaze analytics, or maybe you want to do your DeFi stuff and your NFT stuff that's on chain, or just managing your wallet, staking stuff, governance, sending to people, all in one place, both doing it and discovering it and learning about it.
And for someone like me, I remember you also have kind of like, I don't want to say like a networking type feature, but you have ways for users to discover content creators, spaces, and all that as well. That's still the plan?
Yeah, totally. So I guess actually like we can, I think this is a good little sort of intro overview since this is recorded, but obviously it's pretty small space and most people here know what's up. So maybe after I'll give like a quick sort of top down overview. And then if anyone wants to come up and chat, that's kind of what I'd love to get out of tonight personally, is seeing what people want, what they're expecting, what general pitfalls they've found in the interchain just in general since joining. But yeah, I guess from the top down, so Interchain Info is a website that has three sections to it. The Interchain Index, which is just like a wiki of all things crypto. So whether it's a term for a technology like Cosmos SDK or IBC, whether it's content creators like Crypto Tank, yourself, Joe, or any of the thousands of projects out there in chains. So we have pages on all that. Then the second section is what you just mentioned, the resource hub. And so this is less wiki style and more sort of it's like YouTube and it's like Medium. It's really an aggregate of those two things and the functions that they serve. So whether you like doing audio spaces and podcasts or writing blog articles for Medium or wherever else, or doing live streams and YouTube videos like you and Tank and Don do. These can all get integrated into our resource hub in a way that's tied in with the index, the first thing I talked about. So that, like, perfect example. So ArchX wallet just joined. So someone might be searching on the index just for wallets because they're new to Cosmos, and that's kind of a starting point. And maybe they got into Cosmos because they heard about Archway. So they're specifically looking at Archway stuff. They'll find the Archway wallet. They'll probably click on its page. They'll get some basic info about it integrated into that index page. There's a link tree like a lot of people have anyways. So you can quickly get to their socials, their website, etc. But then below that, you'll see related resources, which will tie into the resource hub. So any articles, interviews, videos that have been done with Archway wallet or about them, ArchX wallet, I should say, will be like kind of, tied in there and tagged together so that people can kind of quickly jump between discovering new stuff in a sort of categorized list type area in the index to diving into those things that they find and learning more about them with content creators and educators in the resource hub. And then the third part of Interchain Inbo is the dashboard, which is going to be coming a little bit later still. That's more delayed, although I do have some awesome info on dates for the other two parts. But that's where you can actually use and interact with all these things you just learned about. So rather than having to open up a tab for Osmosis, a tab for Stargaze, a tab for, you know, whatever it is you might do on the daily, the various Kujira apps, you know, there's like five different ones for interacting with the same part of the ecosystem. The dashboard lets each user, saved to their wallet address that they connect with, customize a layout of sort of widgetized versions of these things. So, you know, you might build out an NFT layout that has the Omniflix module. We call them modules, but widget is also kind of a good term for just picturing it. You might have the Stargaze, Omniflix, Hubble Tools, and then maybe the Osmosis one or Rango one, just so you can get funds to those chains if you need to buy something. And then you might have a separate layout that you can switch to where you have more DeFi oriented stuff, let's say. So Umi, Kujira, Osmosis. And it just lets people access all of these things in one unified experience in the way that I think people just expect outside of Web3. Like people who are coming from Web2 these days, modern Web2, expect stuff to just be sleek, streamlined, accessible, work in one place. You know, oh, here's this cool thing. I just should click on it and I'll be there using it. And that's kind of what we're going for as a top-down approach. And I'm happy to get into all the specifics there, but that's probably an extra long overview, actually.
No. I like that you mentioned that Web2, almost everyone's a power user of Web2 at this point, but that doesn't translate over into Web3 at all, right? So there needs to be some crossover there. And I was just thinking about this today, actually, how highly dependent DeFi is on, and crypto is on whales, right? Quote unquote whales. And the next generation of whales, yeah, it'll be the people who caught that, you know, that micro cap that went to $5 billion market cap in a short amount of time. But I think that the real whales are going to be the literal boomers who are coming in looking to diversify away from their 401k or whatever the real estate holdings are. Those are the people with money, whether we like it or not. And we have to make the sites easy to use. They have to be able to discover crypto kind of on Web2, in a Web2 setting before they cross over into Web3. I think that's going to capture a demographic of people who might be whales and that get no consideration right now with the way the UI UXs are set up.
I think that, yeah, that's a great point. Like, it's just, it's a point I make a similar point often of most of the people in this space right now, most people on our timelines that follow us, even if it's just, you know, the past half a year, like let's say you're new in the past 4 to 6 months, you're still a hell of a lot more used to all of this than someone who's literally just coming fresh off Coinbase or off their child or friend's recommendation to check out crypto in the first place. And it's just incredibly overwhelming. And when you're talking about money in particular, which is sort of unfortunately what crypto's entirely oriented around right now, you can't have uncertainty. You can't have this sort of like, you know, imagine like my parents, you know, they're in their 60s, 70s, and they're in crypto because like I've guided them, but I totally get the perspective of, you know, we're fine. You know, we've been fine up to this point. Like maybe this is something cool and crazy where we could make some money off of, but I just don't really understand it. I don't know where to start. And like, why would we take that risk when it's just so unintuitive, confusing, scattered? And, you know, it doesn't hurt that you see scams in the news all the time and never any of the actual good news. But yeah, so we're really taking like a big picture approach. Ever since I kind of got some backing from my now like co-founder for Interchain Info, we've very much broadened the scope of what we want to do. We're definitely going to be expanding outside of Cosmos eventually, or sooner than later, actually, and just kind of trying to make Web3 accessible. in short, you know.
It has to be. Like, it can't feel like someone's using a completely different version of the internet. And we all talk about this all the time. Since I came into the ecosystem, the number one issue has been the staking UI. It's like, oh, this is causing disparity between the validators' voting power. No one's done anything about it, right? It's exactly the same as when I came in. Kajira did a minor improvement over what existed, but I think, Timmy, what you're building is going to allow for someone to, on their own, without needing their hand held by their friend, you know, discover an ecosystem, kind of click their way, you know, logically through different points that they need to learn, kind of like Web 2, the first time you open a bank account and you use that bank's website for the first time, right? You don't want it to feel risky, even though it is. You don't want it to feel impossible, right? And I think that's, I'm looking forward to seeing more, you know, what you guys are doing.
Yeah. So I guess there's, I think most of what I've like, we've kind of touched on so far, I think most people are aware of, because a form of it has been in our beta. So I guess maybe I can touch on some of the things we're actually looking to do that are new and people maybe haven't heard of, because I guess here's sort of like the announcement. We're not making a big pub out of it. You know, we don't have a token. There's no reason to go crazy with it. We think community adoption will drive it. But knock on wood, we're coming out of beta tomorrow. So entire new site, like complete refresh, tons of new content, like pending, ready to go for Index and Resource Hub. And then the dashboard is not going to be included tomorrow, but we're at the point where we have some third-party teams working with our SDK building modules for it. So we're like getting very close there. So consider that the formal announcement, I guess. We're kind of just going to drop it tomorrow and be like, here it is. But figured Joe should get the exclusive scoop.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I have never gotten the exclusive scoop on anything except Maneki when Tank came on my YouTube. But yeah, no, this is really good, man. And a lot of the people here are very active in Telegram, Discord, other spaces, make threads and all that. What I like about just the hardcore people that are sticking out the bear market and using it as an opportunity to learn, everyone in this space at some point is going to share the link to help somebody else, whether it be for your site or any other similar site. And like you said, if something's convenient and it's accessible, it's going to drive adoption. You don't need a token. Maybe you will one day. That would be interesting, right? If there was a need for
a token. We actually do have a token coming.
You do. And it's going to be facilitating what on the site, or like rewards, something like that.
So actually, yeah, this is, I guess, our first piece of kind of new info. So nothing like investable, not your traditional token, because again, like, we just don't need that. Side note, whenever you're looking at a new crypto project, look at what they do and think, is a token needed for this? Or are they just using it because you can and it's a hype? For example, we could have put out like an ICI token that basically had no promise behind it other than once we start generating revenue down the line, we'll split it with our token holders. Sure, we could do that, and we could do it genuinely with the best of intentions, but that's not how business should work. That's not how investments should work. And yeah, so that just a little side note. But what we're actually looking to introduce, we're not sure exactly what the ticker is going to be yet, but a token whose only utility is that it's redeemable on a one-to-one USD basis with us for our various paid and premium services on Interchain Info. So I want to explain like the thought process behind this. So coming with this new site, and by the way, this will all be super transparent, so no, it's never going to be like projects using this to kind of get in maliciously, but you'll be able to buy ad slots. You'll be able to feature your product. That's something I want to touch on in particular, actually, because it plays into these tokens we want to issue. But there's various paid revenue streams coming up with the full launch of the site. That is how we're going to be a sustainable company, that are traditional, actually proven revenue streams, like ad revenue, featured articles, featured modules on the dashboard, that sort of thing. But what I've been thinking for a long time is like, okay, I want to be able to, you know, get like Tank and Joe and especially new people like that come to do what you guys do, but are new and getting started. Like, I want to be able to get them verified and get them more exposure and these sort of things without necessarily just kind of playing favoritism, being like, oh, it's free for you, free for someone else. So what I've kind of we've settled on after a lot of discussion, and we're not sure where this token is going to live, but the general idea is the same way I'm trying a blank right now. I apologize on the sponsors for Tank Stream, but oh, I think Kujira and Cosmos Spaces, I believe. But in the same way that you guys might get your content sponsored by various companies with their tokens, USD, whatever, we would issue you guys some of these tokens as a way to like sponsor that you could then spend to, you know, get more exposure through our site, all in a very like accountable, transparent way that's trackable. It's kind of everything's above board. And then we can also do things like giveaways or service exchanges. So if another project out there has some premium service that normally they charge for, but we want to integrate it somewhere in the dashboard, let's say, maybe they would, we would pay for that with these tokens, and then in exchange they'd buy ad slots, whatever. So I think one of the like key motivators behind that is our verified system. So this is kind of slightly deep. This is the only thing I'll get like too in the weeds with, because I think it applies to a couple of people in this room, like Tank, yourself, NetaDAO, a couple other people here are part of projects. So it, doing a crypto wiki, like a list of things, has been really challenging from the just like ordering perspective, because you don't want to necessarily say, oh, let's put Osmosis at the top of the DEX section just because it's the biggest. Like, that is in some ways anti-consumer, but then it's also, is it anti-user if the biggest DEX is buried and not easy to find? So the balance we've struck is that obviously search works the way you'd expect. If you search, you'll come up with relevant stuff. But if you're just looking at a category or an ecosystem, let's say you're looking at all of the dApps on Juno or all of the pages in the DEX category, they're just going to be listed A to Z, but ones that are verified will have a gray check mark and will be listed first A to Z. So all of the verified ones A to Z, then all the non-verified ones. The cost for this is like negligible. It's 500 USD a year or 2000 for 5 years. So like a drop in the bucket for a real project. But, you know, for a new content creator, I'd rather not shell out 500 bucks, right? So that's kind of where this token can come into play, where, you know, the other part I didn't touch on actually is to get verified, you will have to, we're working with a third party, actually, something that Ray is working on, Ray Raspberry, who we're all familiar with. That's like a basic transparency sort of disclosure form. So this is going to be unrelated to us. It's going to be something that there's kind of movements and pushes for projects to do in general, the same way that all chains are added to the chain registry on GitHub for Cosmos. We'll want projects to like start filling this stuff out just as like a show of good faith. It'll be basic info like Genesis supply, if any of the founders are doxed, their info. A couple other things. I actually don't know the super details because, like I said, they're building it out. But the idea is if you are in that system, or you can go and do it, that's free. And then you pay us this nominal fee of 500 a year or 2000 for 5 years. You get the verified check. So it's actually pretty simple. I kind of went a little, I feel like I talked too much there for such a simple system, but it's amazing how much thought has gone into such a simple system, because it's this weird balance of scams are prevalent in Web3, even soft scams that start genuine. Users are playing with money. People are degens. People call out favoritism. So just the simple idea of how to order stuff and present it to users in a balance of like safe, fair, and helpful ways has kind of been a challenge. But this is what we've settled on. And I hope I explained that decently. I know I just touched on two things at once. But yeah, verified and this new token that we may be introducing.
So basically, you, on a voluntary basis, you're allowing projects to verify and disclose if their founders are doxxed, and in return, they get some like slightly better than normal exposure on the site, but it doesn't affect how they come up.
Think about it this way. So the hope is, especially once we've gained traction and if users are coming to expect this, when you go to the Dex page or the Dex section, you know, the top, let's say at whatever point in future, there's 200 pages. There's 200 Dexes throughout all the chains we cover that have pages. I would expect, like, you know, at least 50% of them should be verified. We need to get to a point in crypto where, and I'll elaborate, or not elaborate, but I'll specify on the transparency thing. Doxing founders is not necessarily part of it. I think that's one of, I think the system Ray's building out and whoever he's working with is something along the lines of, here are, let's say, 10 things that you need to provide for transparency, provide any 7 of them to get, you know, the sign off. So
can I just cut in? I think of it more as like, you need a way to build credibility and reputation without having to dox if for some reason you can't or you just don't want to, right? So doxing might be good for someone like me. I could fully dox. Here's my LinkedIn, my last name, whatever. And from there, it's kind of like, I just hope no one shows up at my job with like a baseball bat, right? But there has to be, there should be other ways for people to build credibility in the space to differentiate from those, whether they're scams from the start or they become quote unquote scams because people just don't know what they're doing. You need a way for the cream to rise to the top, so to speak.
Yeah. And let me phrase this in a different light. So Ray's not setting up any kind of audit system. We're not promising these projects are solid investments or not outright scams. It's basically like the lowest level that I think after like Ray, I, and a couple other people talk, they're just shocked that isn't already a standard in crypto of like, is this at least a genuine attempt at something? Maybe it's crazy, it might not work, but like, you know, does it seem to at least be attempting to be a fair experiment or cool project or NFT game or whatever it might be? And so the hope is like that the majority of pages on our index will actually be verified. For most projects, you know, $500 a year is nothing, especially when we do plan to eventually be like the front page of Cosmos. Like, no one's going to look. Who goes to the Cosmos ecosystem page on Cosmos.network? No one, because it's the least helpful thing in the entire world.
It's bad. So, it's bad. You know, though, most of the site's landing pages are extremely bad. Or they just have too much stuff there that a new person going there would immediately just be confused. So there's no one's threaded the needle. But the way that you're talking about it, you're coming from a different place. I feel like this is going to work. So
a couple people have actually commented like, well, where's your landing page? Or what's your landing page look like? It's like, we don't need a landing page. Like, there's a reason that our homepage just looks like Google. It's supposed to be intuitive, simple. You just get in and do what you need to do. Right. Like a landing page, almost a landing page is awesome for a lot of purposes, but it almost implies that whatever you're looking at needs context and information and prepping, and like that it's going to be foreign to you. Right. Most of Facebook doesn't have a lot. I mean, maybe some of these things do, but I was about to name like, you know, 10, 20 Web 2 websites that don't really have a landing page. Just go there and it's the actual product, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And like you said, it needs to be intuitive. It has to at least slightly resemble what people have used before. And that's exactly what some of like the best apps have done, whether it be Uniswap, OpenSea. OpenSea literally looks like eBay, which has been around for like 25 years, right? So it's you have to make it
seem like... It's funny that people knock that, though.
Oh, my God. I will fight over that because... If I'm buying a product on the internet, it should look like I'm buying a product off the internet from the time I get to the website. I need to know where I'm going to put search for the thing I want. I need to see the thing that I want, and I need to read reviews or the details about it, and then I need to click and pay. And like that's how it goes. And I think one of the things that's lost on, and I'll pick on this ecosystem because I'm the most versed in this ecosystem, but I'm sure this is a problem crypto wide. And the token prices reflect that. It's this ecosystem is very dev focused. It's not customer focused. And the people that use the ecosystem are not treated enough like customers. We need to be, you know, shown products, and services need to be offered that we can buy, right? Here's my money, take my money, but no one's taking my money, right? So it's very frustrating that I want to spend money in the ecosystem. And even for myself, who's basically a power user, it takes me forever to do one thing unless I go to Stargaze, right? Or unless I go to Osmosis, right? Those are the two sites that I'm perfectly happy while I'm at a red light or zipping around in my car. I could do it with one hand on my phone because the buttons just are in the right place. The screen makes sense. So until we get to that, which I don't think we ever will, then what you're building, there should be tremendous demand for. And I would love to see what it looks like when it's done. And you've got 6 months under your belt and you could look at the traffic compared to, you know, some of the OG, quote unquote, OG chains like Secret Network, Kava, Cosmos, right? Like the traffic should be funneling through a quote unquote centralized hub for information like yours, and then get spun off to the individual applications that people discover and want to use.
Yeah, I think it's our plan, or not our, this hasn't even been discussed, but in my head, I feel like we're somewhat going to lean into a sort of peer pressure thing with the verified system, right? Where if the majority of big chains that are out here engaging in the community, projects in general too, whether they're protocols or NFTs, you know, they've gone through the trouble. They've put a little bit of transparency info just for good faith, even. They've paid us a nominal fee. It's going to be very telling when some of these, you know, big projects just aren't. These ones that might be getting shilled everywhere. And suddenly you look at the index and you're like, oh, but they haven't even bothered to, like, engage with this thing that's very community oriented. This is where everyone's getting their information. This is where people are discovering new projects. And they haven't even gone through the 10-minute drop in the bucket cost effort of getting verified on here. And we're doing that really for the user in the end, right? So that when you look at all these lists of things, of projects, protocols, technologies, validators, of which we want to list all, because that's sort of where the value comes, that there's still going to be some level of, you know, confident user experience there and like organization to the list as far as what's placed where. And the general vibe will probably be like, okay, if you want to hunt for brand new projects or shit coins, you scroll all the way down past the verified section. If you're just looking for a new reliable in a certain category, it'll be one of your first, you know, 10, 15 results, or even less if you filter by chain and some other things.
It sounds good. And I think the people that are here now that I recognize, right, almost everybody, either they're heavily involved in the ecosystem or they're building products themselves, would love to have people come up and comment, right? Because, I'm not an insider on Timmy's project, but the first time I ever talked to Timmy was over a year ago about this. I don't know if you remember that, Timmy. I was sitting at my kitchen table. We did a Zoom chat, and you were explaining this all to me. And I was like,
yeah, I think it was before we even started building, right? Just when it was an idea? Or maybe we had started...
I don't know, but I remember it was like over a year ago, and then I became, you know, even more critical of the websites in Cosmos because I just can't stand any of them. I think that they look horrendous, and even the app pages. Biggest pet peeve to me, for me, is I go to a website for a DeFi protocol, and they have more than one app, and they don't link the apps to each other, and I have to re-Google the name of it to find it. Wind was like this for a while. Kajira is like this. If you go to the main page, you can't get to the apps. You have to go in and like Google the names of the apps and stuff. It's really, to me, that's like, how is that not fixed, right? And
Joe, I love you so much. Like,
I'm the sorry. Amount of times I like Kajira. It's my favorite Telegram. I like it even more than my own Telegram. But you have a landing page, which is like a business card, and it's like, why can't you link your goddamn apps to the business?
And I mean, they are there, but they're just like buried. And like, if I go to Kajira, I want to start using Kajira, not see your advertisement.
But what's frustrating is I go to these other apps and websites in the Web 2 world, and the things are just where they need to be. Like I open up my Chase app And there's literally a button, deposit money, another button, deposit a check, another button, transfer funds, another button, like transaction history. It's all right there. I don't go to the page and then have to Google how to deposit a check on Chase. Like it's very frustrating, man. Shade's new site. I was nervous when I was heard about they were putting all these apps. And then I look at the site, I'm like, oh, this is what they all should look like. Right. And it's definitely a huge step in the right direction. But now I want to see all of the DeFi apps on one page. And then I want to customize my dashboard to like the five that I use the most to come up first, or the verified ones to come up first, however it's arranged. And now I don't need 75 bookmarks and 39 tabs to do a couple of transactions.
Yeah, the dashboard will definitely be our like anchor product. I think people might find out about us most often from someone dropping a link to an index page or a resource, just, you know, in a reply on Twitter here or there. But I think the dashboard's what's going to lock people in, because I don't know the exact.
Think about how messy Telegram gets, but then you could pin those conversations up to the top that you want to see up top. It's the equivalent of that, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, and in fact, you know, like there's no reason we couldn't do a Telegram module, so that if one of the widgets on your dashboard wanted to be one of the chats you keep a tab on, maybe you're an intense trader and you're in like a signals chat, right? But you're doing DeFi trading, like build out your dashboard for that. Go for it. I forget the exact phrasing of the saying, but I think we've all heard like the general idea of the best products are ones that are built by people who want to use them. And boy, does that define the dashboard for me. Like, I've been in crypto and Web3 in general for a very long time, actually, and not too long. It's probably going to be like over half my life. Oh, well, no, good bit, but coming up on that. And all I've just wanted is what I'm building in the dashboard here. And I think that speaks volumes. Like, I know that isn't too descriptive, but it's just crypto feels like the stereotype right now, in that if you come in from the outside, it is this crazy fragmented world of just things in their own corner that make no sense, that work in their own way. They're just, you know, just like fun. Like, as a new user, we all forget this, but you'll come to a new protocol and you won't even think to ask the question of what chain is this on, let alone know how to figure it out. It's just all so abstracted and weird, and like that's why it's so ripe for scam.
And also, for the people that only know crypto, they defend it up and down. They say, well, this is decentralized.
Yeah.
I just messaged Kit. I said, not decentralized, just disorganized. And that's really what it is. Just because something is a chaotic mess doesn't mean it's decentralized at all. It just means that it's only makes sense when you're looking at it. It's disorganized.
Yeah, and I think that's one reason we've taken the design philosophy of I don't even know if you'd call it centralized, because, you know, both the index and the resource hub are like Wikipedia, and then the resource hub's other people's content. So in a way, that's very decentralized. But there's a reason the majority of our stuff is not on chain, right? We want to retain a certain level of control. And that control that we plan to retain is purely around the UX. So people can build and develop and experiment and do whatever, but the end user can rely on us, Spark and Interchain Info, to deliver all of that stuff in a cohesive and intuitive package.
It's okay, Timmy. You're allowed to say customer service in Web3.
Where would that have fit in?
It's servicing your customers, right? Which are, I guess, threefold, right? You have the people like me who just want an awesome dashboard, right? And I want to just click my way through the ecosystem. And you got people like, you know, Gelato, NetAdao, Maneki. They want their products featured on a site that gets tons of traffic from people who are not necessarily looking for their projects, right? They just stumble upon it because everything's in one nice place. And then you got the people who built the stuff in the first place who don't even know they're benefiting from a site like this when it takes off. So I think that's customer service when you're balancing all those things, and you're fine tuning it as you need to. I don't think having a measure of control when you have to work out the vision and actually make the changes on a fly, adjustments and whatnot, I don't think that's control in a negative way.
Yeah, like one very simple fact I think people overlooked is that this whole decentralization theme came from Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin is incredibly simple. And so decentralization, pure decentralization, true, can actually kind of work with that. But it doesn't necessarily abstract to the wider picture of Web3 as a whole. It just, when you think about it from that perspective, I've heard a lot of people go like, oh, that's a good point. Like, it's a different way to think about it.
Yeah, Bitcoin works. Bitcoin works because it really wasn't supposed to do that much, right? It was just like, here's like kind of like a network and you could send Bitcoin on it and Bitcoin might be money. Okay, cool. And then now that the next phase was like, we're going to redesign, you know, 50,000 years of finance evolution, and we're going to just put it on the internet. And like, that's like a lot different than Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And Timmy, I keep trying to give people the mic. I think Tank requested the mic. Mayor, I can't get them up here. I don't know.
Oh, I could try. Have people requested or are they just denying you? I could try.
Mayor requested twice and then
okay, Tank requested once. Let me see if I can try as co-host on my other account. That's perfect though, because I was just going to say, I think like the index resource and dashboard, most people in here know about. I'm excited for the new versions of them and a lot of the features we're having come along to finally have some revenue and a better user experience. But now that we're getting over that hump in a way, we're already planning out in some ways more important things. So things like Coinbase Learn type, or like Area 52, if you guys know that project for developers, but ways where if you're totally new to crypto and you come to Interchain Info, let us hold your hand. Let us give you some like video guides. Let us like teleport you to the wallet section immediately and say, here's where you start. Here's what wallets do. Like more in-depth, direct products coming out that aren't as passive as sort of most of what we've described with Interchain Info, that seek to actually go out and like engage people and get them interested and comfortable with crypto. And so I would love anyone and everyone to come up here and, not specific to this project, but just in general in all of Web3 and crypto, what are your biggest gripes? What are the biggest barriers you've seen when trying to onboard friends and family? What are the biggest things you expected to work in a certain way and didn't? Because we're getting to a point where we're actually like, we're expanding, we're growing, we're about to have our base product out, and we want to tackle these things. We want to be like a dominant player in Web3 and make it more accessible for the average person.
I mean,
so I'll yeah, okay, give, let me call to this other phone. Mic. Let me try.
But Timmy, I think you just said it. Only the centralized exchanges have figured out that this is important, right? And it's Binance Academy, Coinbase Learn, whatever. Gemini's got something similar. Like, you have to teach people how to spend their money. Marketing is not really doing that. Marketing is, you know, it's actually like almost too broad of a definition. Oh, this ecosystem, they don't market out. They don't market. You have to teach people how to spend their money because you need transactions in this world for it to work and to be viable. And like you said, the centralized exchanges figured out how to do this really well. And there is no equivalent, I don't think. I don't know if Ethereum has something where they're like literally teach you how to use everything on one site, but I think again,
there's like there's fragmented stuff. Like there's definitely some products out there that kind of do what we want to do and are great and helpful for onboarding people, but no one's in the position that a centralized exchange is to offer that like start to finish service. By the time someone gets to a DeFi protocol on Ethereum that has an equivalent, they must have some foundation under their belt, right? No one's starting there. But what we want to do is really have people be able to send their grandfather a link to Interchain Info, and between us guiding them with the basics and then referencing them to something like Kava, we can just like get them onboarded all in one cohesive single session. Wait, did I say Kava? Kado. So like get them onboarded with fiat directly into their wallet, skipping a sex.
Got it. Yeah, I did try to add, try to give Kit the mic two more times. It did not work. If anyone has questions, you could put them in the, you could put them in the thread. It would be cool, Timmy, since you guys are unveiling something tomorrow. Maybe we could have like an ongoing thread of like AMA on Twitter that people can like drop their questions. And it's visible to everyone, and it could just circulate Twitter for a couple of days, like the rest of the week at least, and then you could answer questions that way. It's not a bad way to do it. People will see it, and maybe that can be your frequently asked questions for the launch.
Yeah, I love that idea.
And something else that plays very well on Twitter, and you know, people that are here now, maybe you're good at this or you've seen this and you agree. Besides Spaces, besides YouTube, besides Twitter threads, even like there's nothing better than an infographic on Twitter, like just something that fits on my screen with one click and it has a shit ton of information and is organized. Like there's something to be said for like a perfect infographic.
That is, I don't know. I bet you
that's the best content.
That's where this started. I don't know if you remember this, but the idea for Interchain Info came when I made an infographic of all the Cosmos projects in categories, and the title I gave that image was the Interchain Index. And I was like, this should be like an actual like site. Plus, it's kind of a catchy term. And then it kind of expanded to like, we should also like host like content and resources though from people, not just a glossary stuff. And but literally the idea for Interchain Info started with an infographic. The I think we called it like Cosmonaut Bootcamp Interchain Index V1 or something. Do you remember that? It was a while ago now, but it was just a big old like 8K image with all the logos in various categories. And just like on our site, that's where we I first came up with the like ring around a project for whatever chain it's on. So you get the project logo and what chain it's on in like one quick glance. That all started back on an infographic. So I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, no, I mean, nothing hits like an you could reach so many more people with a good infographic. And I'm not saying that everyone can do it. I certainly can't make good infographics. I'm still working on my thumbnail game, as Timmy knows. But good infographic is a good way for someone to start content creation if they don't want to be on a space. They don't want their face shown on YouTube. I think that's the infographics can hit really well.
Yeah, and I'm actually just really excited to get it out of beta and full release so that I have more free time to like do that kind of stuff. Like I'm a video editor. There's a lot of video content I want to make, infographics, getting more people on the site. I'm excited to actually have more free time to do the content side of what I'm building rather than the boring back end stuff. But hey, we got Kit up here. How's it going, Kit?
Oh, the moment has passed. Everything that I wanted to chime in on. But I'm glad I got up here using Android instead of Apple.
Interesting.
Oh, the moment has passed. That made me laugh, kid.
No moment has passed, though. I mean, what part did you want to chime in on?
Oh, I usually sit in spaces and I listen. I try not to, you know, step on anyone's toes, but the whole, I wanted to like circle back and go into how I feel about the way that we interact with what's decentralization versus centralized. How do we all get into decentralization? Some form of centralization. So DeFi maxis really need to understand where we come from. And how, what the true meaning and what defines a, peer-to-peer environment versus, forcing, micromanaging an ecosystem into DeFi is truly still decentralized. Did I lose everybody in this one?
No, I agree with, I will admit I was half trying to bring Tank up on stage there, so I missed the first part, but like, actually I don't want to say anything for fear for misspeak after mishearing you, but in general, like, it's a hard line to walk, right? Of like, I don't know, maybe repeat. I apologize. I was trying to deal with Twitter issues. Tank, it's just not. Actually, Joe, maybe try and send him a co-host invite. Sometimes those work when speaker ones don't, but I apologize, Kit.
No, all is good. It keeps kicking people out. You send mics too. So if Tank, you have an emulator, jump on to the emulator. You can pop on. Or if you have an LG phone, flip phone, you're probably better off on that.
My phone is not a flip phone.
No, it is. We have the cool folding phones with the full touchscreen, you know, the new flip phone.
I've had LG flip phones back in the slide phones I had back in the day.
I still have my QWRT sliding LG phone and my flip phone. My flip phone by LG is the best. I have bedazzled it, and it still is bedazzled.
That's amazing. That's great. That's a relic. You keep that forever.
Yes, I have a bright green, metallic green, and a bright metallic orange one. But that's another story. But yeah, I was trying to keep it vague, just talking about like just in general. We have a lot of people that are DeFi maxis and like voting into the ecosystem and so forth. As Joe was mentioning, is that, you know, the centrics of how this is very, you know, Cosmos is for the devs. You know, the people that enter into play are truly liquidity, you know, in my sentiment. And when it comes to, okay, what is true, you know, decentralization, we all come from a form of centralization, but what makes it decentralized is using networks that are truly peer-to-peer networking, where you can't micromanage that, you know, how those interactions happen, but yet we're still micromanaging.
Yes. Yep. Yep, it's the disconnect between the core tech that's driving all this and that makes us interested whatsoever, and the way that people are still sort of stuck in traditional thought of how to interact with these systems and like use them and build them. Totally. And I think that's partly because I don't think that's pure ignorance and like folly. I think it's also that people are beginning to realize there is plenty of room for a middle ground. Systems or protocols or whatever that derive certain benefits from being partially decentralized while also retaining certain benefits from being partially centralized. And then other things that, you know, play better with full decentralization. And, you know, I think many projects that have failed have learned that there are still some things that are just going to be better fully centralized. Yeah, like there's a reason we haven't seen a decentralized social media kickoff, right? Because for all intents and purposes, that part of what a social media platform gives you, the centralized versus centralized part, it's not that important. It's not that crucial. So long as there's not heavy censorship or whatever, it's not. Take the counter example of Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin's core purpose is money, one of arguably if the most important thing in the modern world we live in. Those things are not the same, right? So I think like the idea of these decentralized peer-to-peer tech and then the thought that goes along with it, centralized versus decentralized, is often disconnected and still just being figured out by most people in the industry. That's why I'm very happy that this is the product I've settled on, because we're not I feel very safe. Whatever direction the industry goes, entire chains could die, all of Cosmos could go away, things could shift, and we're still just like a top level and a gateway to all that. So whatever ends up emerging from this centralized decentralized soup we have going on, we'll be there to help guide people through it.
But yeah, I mean, in reality, you can't you can't account for multiple variables for what data sets are to come in the future and what's current. But what you can do is make a proper framework associated to it. And with that, I always try to, you know, use the example of a finite state model. You know, in the real world situation, you can use finite state model as a, you know, a traffic light intersection. You know, the algorithm is based off of, you know, not set times in the day, it's just set times of the amount of emissions, you know, how many extra variables, how many vehicles are coming, and it will adjust itself accordingly to make sure that everyone is safe. In this sense, we will have a framework that's meant for everyone can come in and play, and, you know, input and output associated to it. And that way, you know, that's just how protocols work. Protocols are to make sure that everybody is safely integrating, and we need to scale in and out, not just, you know, trap everybody. And dang it, my screen just blacked out. I'm probably still unmiked.
Yes, unmuted still, but couldn't agree more. Yeah, honestly. It looks like it looks like it's not going to happen. I think I know at least part of what Tank wants to say, so I'll shout out tomorrow morning. I'm not sure exactly when, but I'll be hopping on a stream with Tank sometime after we've launched, and we'll be kind of exploring the website and going through stuff. And you guys should be able to do so alongside, because we'll be live. So I'm sure Tank had some more insightful stuff to weigh in than that, but I'll at least cover that, because I'm sure that was part of it. So make sure to tune in the morning, and we'll go through a bunch of cool stuff.
That sounds awesome, man. I just want to say again, I'm very happy that this is getting built. It's needed. Otherwise, you know, you go through MintScan and lots of empty block space in Cosmos. We got to fill it up with some people who are ready to actually transact on these, like, you know, five dozen chains we've got.
That's the other super like kind of secondhand subtle effect that I think most people are probably discounting, that I think Interchain Info will have, is once we're up and running for a while, and once we have user traction and it's clear this is where people go, just simply the, like I talked about the verified status earlier, but beyond that, just how up to date their index page is kept, how many resources about a certain project are added weekly and in the section. These things are actually going to speak volumes about projects. And suddenly it's going to be a lot harder to get away with, you know, so example, you can't buy likes and followers on Interchain Info like you can on Twitter. So these projects that somehow seem massive and yet you don't know a single person that uses them, or where the blocks are always empty, unless they're really going out of their way to just purely update like educational resources on your chain info, in which case they probably are working genuinely to build something, it's kind of going to become apparent. I don't think many people are thinking about that, because it's definitely going to be a kind of secondary side effect type thing. But this is going to be really helpful for the end user of just, cool, I'm looking at a list of NFT marketplaces. I clicked on the first four that seemed interesting. These two look like they haven't been updated in forever. These projects might even be dead, whereas these ones have their most recent update, a bunch of resources from the community below verified. Like, boom, I'm obviously going with that one.
Yeah, I think that makes a difference. And like we said before, you go around to the different landing pages of the different blockchains, and you could pretty much see that a lot of them haven't updated their website since, you know, surprise, the token launch. And it's easy to kind of give up, but if you see all the projects side by side, you, each person can pick their best in class and just worry about that one. If you like Kuji updates their stuff all the time, great. You like Osmosis, despite them not putting up, you know, rapid updates every day, but you like their, you know, you like their UX and the founders or docs and all that. Great. So I see tremendous use for this. I think it's going to do well, even in the bear market. I think it will get attention. And I think most importantly, I think it will drive people to apps and make them use apps. I think that's really what's going to happen.
The right apps too. Like that's the key.
Right. And then what will be cool is someone like Tank or Joe or Don goes on Interchain Info, shows off their dashboard. This is my dashboard. Look, I have Osmosis and Finn and all that. Tank's dashboard sucks, but you can go on his channel and look at his dashboard. Oh, Don's dashboard, my dashboard's the best, and we could show off that way.
Oh, and not only that, you'll be able to actually, so here's a little more detail on the dashboard. You'll be able to flex the more Spark points you have. So the first real utility for Spark points is coming with the dashboard. Two of them, actually. One being you'll be able to save multiple layouts the more Spark points you have. So we're not going to reveal exactly the numbers yet, but let's say, you know, if you have 50 Spark points, so you contributed $50 to any campaigns on Spark, you'll have access to two different layouts you can save. Maybe at 100, you'll have three, etc. And then the other thing, which arguably more interesting, is the one module on the dashboard we're building and maintaining is called MyTX. And it's just an all-in-one general purpose transaction builder. So in sort of like, this is what I always thought a wallet should be. There's one protocol on Ethereum that does this, but it mainly got used for flash loans. It broke a bunch of stuff. People degened with it. And so we're designing it slightly differently. But the idea is just in an intuitive interface of this step, then this step, then this step, you can build out something like claim my staking rewards on Kujira, send them or trade them into Atom, then send that Atom to the hub and then stake it. There's a four-part thing that would normally take you like three different browser tabs and who knows how long of waiting for things to load and navigating. Now you just build that out because those are kind of core basic functions. You execute that and you run it. And the more Spark points you have, the more of these transaction templates you're going to be able to save and turn into Croncat's recipes. So that example I just gave, maybe you turn that into a weekly DCA strategy where you're taking your rewards from one chain and DCAing them into another. You might be able to pull up a fully fleshed out dashboard on a video and go through your three or four different layouts and get a bunch of comments like, hey, why can't I have that many? And you'll just say, because you're a pleb. You'll say, no, because you need to contribute to the interchain. Actually, just while it popped into my mind, another update, I guess, is one of the things we're focusing on pretty soon after launch, not immediately because the dashboard's taken up most of our resources, but is setting it up so that people like you, Joe, and Tank, and a lot of people who do Medium articles can kind of hook in your platform of choice to the resource hub. So every time you upload a video on YouTube, that'll just get automatically submitted. Now, if you want to go give it a custom description, you'll have to do that, obviously, but we'll just pull the YouTube description, the title and such, and just get that in there. Same for tracking a Medium account. So we want to make all this stuff easy, too, because we know we're very aware that while everything we're building is cool, no one's opposed to it. Like, obviously, there's no downside. There's also that sort of barrier of not just laziness, but people only have so many hours in the day. They only have so much attention they can put on like Web3 and crypto stuff. So there's a lot of things like that we're looking to do to make it really easy for this information to get ingested, the same way we're making it easy for people to find it and ingest it themselves.
That's cool. Will you be able, you know, maybe in one tweet, all the relevant links and maybe like an infographic of some sort, thumbnail?
Yes,
I'll share totally. It in the Telegrams. I'll share it in the Telegrams that I'm in. And if I get time tomorrow, I'll try to make a quick video to inform people, like a Twitter video that people will actually see, not like videos on my YouTube that only like people I know watch.
Yeah, the Twitter might be the new wave. Did you see? I saw Elon Musk like retweeted a 2.5 hour Tucker Carlson, Andrew Tate interview or something. I didn't even know Twitter could do videos that long.
That's a new feature because of like Twitter Blue, I guess. So whatever the new Twitter is, the thing that you have to pay for that makes Twitter harder to use. Yeah, that.
But still, like 2.5 hours, I was just surprised. It looked like good quality from the 2 seconds I saw.
Yeah, but I could stream my live streams directly to Twitter, and it doesn't matter how long they are. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think like an idea, this is not in the works, but something I've played around with. This would be down the road. We definitely need a little funding under our belt. But I've thought of the idea of making an interface on Interchain Info where you can either upload a video file, start a live stream, or write some text like text editor, blog post. And not only will it submit it to ICI, but also kind of do what Restream does, or these services where in that one click and one go and submission, you'll put it on YouTube, put it on Twitter. If it's written, put it on Medium, convert it into a thread for Twitter if it's like short enough, these sort of things. Because just like we're trying to do with the actual on-chain dApps and protocols, I think the key to Web3 is simplicity, aggregation, abstraction, like unifying things.
I could sum up this space actually in like a tweet, right? Web3 still needs Web2 supports. Interchain info will be the training wheels for the Cosmos ecosystem. Or the training wheels for the new user into the Cosmos ecosystem. How's that? I don't think you want training wheels in your slogan, but I just did it.
It's not an inaccurate description. Yeah. I think the only part you'd be missing there is we're starting with training wheels, but we're definitely aiming long term to I'm trying to think of an analogy that fits with
training wheels. I got it. We're riding the bike as we're taking off the training wheels.
Boom. There we go. Yes. Yep. Yep. We're going to take you all the way to Lance Armstrong status.
Well, I can't get people up here that keep requesting. This is really annoying. But maybe yeah. A 1 week follow up next week. I'm not having any DeFi 101s. It's just hard to get devs this month because of all these amazing conferences. You know, so
let's, I can't go to. Let's so. Do it. But honestly, like, I think the website's going to speak for itself. It's
going to be very
intuitive. And people have, you know, heard me talk a lot. I'd love to do a space next week where I co-host with you. But maybe what we try and do is get on a couple projects and also make sure that they've like updated their index pages ahead of time. Maybe I'll try and get some of the ones that are building dashboard modules and we can kind of have them on and talk about the builder perspective of everything we've talked about tonight, because I've just realized it almost sounds like we're purely bashing devs for not making anything cohesive. But like, if you're just building one protocol, if you're building a DEX or something, like, that's a handful. Like, you can't focus on the chain as well and unifying the other chains and the wallet experience and then the information and the onboarding process. And like, so we're kind of trying to alleviate some of those in between parts so that people can focus on what they're best at.
And the most important thing is what you're building actually caters to the small project who doesn't want to make their own website. Right. So it's inclusive to the small projects that eventually get big. And not just that, actually,
another cool thing that I don't think we've mentioned, but because I didn't actually realize it until a couple months ago. But there are a lot of people out there, Reese being the one who made me realize this, the main Juno dev, Reese. He has like a lot of tools that are just generally like helpful, like a snapshotting tool. Like when I wanted to do the Joe thing and I needed to do some snapshotting, he had this tool built, some like really redundant, awesome IBC tools. Like, so if you accidentally send an IBC coin to the wrong chain, you know how, like, if it doesn't go back to its parent chain, it can get messed up. He has a tool that can undo that, these sorts of things. But he's not a front end developer and he doesn't have like a website or anything necessarily to put that. Well, he does have a website, but that wouldn't make sense to host these things. And so we're going to turn them into modules on the dashboard. And I've since learned there's a lot of other people like him that have these sort of command line developer-ish tools that are more, or they think are niche, but in reality, people might want to use. And so what we're doing with our dashboard is if you want to build a module, we provide an SDK that comes with front-end components. Now, for the non-developer talk out there, that means things like buttons, drop-down menus, checkbox lists, like all the UI components you interact with. Like, Reese doesn't do that stuff. It's one reason he just sticks to his like Linux command line. But now he'll just be able to take something he's built, quickly assemble a front end, and don't have to worry about domain hosting, don't worry about marketing, because it's just on the dashboard, ready for people to use. So that's another like kind of cool bonus we've realized in the past couple months that will be made available with this.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that's great. No, there's not much else to say. I guess just like, let's see it tomorrow and have fun with it. A lot of people stuck it out for the space despite these problems. It's just like, it's terrible to be hosting a space where nobody can get up here to use the mic and we're supposed to have interaction. But like I said, next time we'll do another one and we'll have some projects and hopefully some of the same people. Tank couldn't get up here. Robo couldn't get up here. Sats Runner can't get up here. We'll try again, I guess, because Twitter, it's better than it's been.
It's been weird lately, though. I feel like the past couple weeks. Maybe that's just me, but I feel like space has a ton of problems.
Yeah.
Tank is going to, like, right after this ends, he's going to open up his own tank, his own space, just to let it all out.
Do it, Tank. I'll join for 5 or 10.
I'm gonna try to go to sleep early tonight and get a full 8 hours sleep. We'll see. But I'll check out Tank stream tomorrow with you on there.
Sweet. Well, really appreciate this. I appreciate you coming up, Kit. I know everyone who's listening, you've probably heard a lot of this spiel before, but hopefully some people listening to the recording, there might be some new info. And just in general, yeah, like tomorrow, if you like what you see, tweet it out, help spread the word. And also we're super open to feedback. So we'll have a lot of channels open to get all, like, whether it's bug reports or just suggestions, like we want to hear all that stuff. So yeah, thanks so much.
I got a question to me. So going live, you're debuting, are you also allowing the feedback forum to be available to everybody to put in their bug reports, etc.?
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna just open up that canny to anyone using the site.
Nice. Okay.
I think from what I've heard, some of the bugs you reported should be good by tomorrow, like the Silk Browser one, a couple other things. Those are getting patched up. But that's also why we really want feedback, because people often forget how many different devices, screen sizes, browsers, etc. are out there. So like things might look perfect on our end on the 8 different computers we've tested it on, but you might notice something funky, so please let us know.
Yippers. Yeah, I'm going to change my name and everything so nobody knows what I reported.
Awesome. Well, really appreciate you beta testing, by the way, Kit, and anyone else who hears this that helped out with that. It was very helpful. But Joe, thanks so much for the host, my friend. I will let you get your 8 hours. And yeah, we'll definitely do another space next week. And if I see a little Twitter video from you tomorrow on ICI, I won't complain.
No pressure. I'll get on that. If both my kids are sleeping at the same time for more than 45 minutes, it'll be done.
Or maybe just have them do it. Just write the script. Be like, here, say this.
Oh, God. Yeah. They lose their minds when they see computer screens. It's unbelievable because we don't have,
like, Fortnite.
They don't have devices, so it's like they see a Chromebook, they're like, oh, this is a spaceship, I have to break it, you know. It's like that.
Oh God. Wait, how old are they again?
4 years and 9 months.
Okay. Yep in the smashing age for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Joe, you should play Fortnite or Diablo or StarCraft.
I don't know any of those games. The last game I played was Grand Theft Auto 3, like 20 years ago.
No. I've seen you play marbles on Tank Stream.
Oh God, was I really playing?
So we should definitely do a Cosmos gaming night or something. There's a couple where people don't need to buy or own. You can just like go to a website on your phone. That'd be fun.
I played played like a browser game once, like 10 years ago. It was like one of those addictive games, but yeah, I'm not in the gaming world at all.
I played one of those browser games 10 years. Something about that, just that was a funny statement.
Yeah, Kit, I'm useless with games, so I can play card games. That's about it.
You're a farm.
Hey, you won, Joe. You have a wife and kids. You won the only game that actually matters. Doing better than a lot of us.
Oh, I appreciate that. Sometimes I feel that way.
God. All right. Good night. Take care.
Good night, Kit. Good night, Joe. Thank you, everybody.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, like I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of denolay, stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage, like the shit is play for keeps, clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible, when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.